Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice. So today we are super excited to have Dr. Dragojlovic, who is a PM&R attending. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Very happy to be a part of this. Thanks for having me.
So where are you a PM&R attending physician and what is your position?
I'm an assistant professor and the residency program director at UT Health PM&R in Houston, Texas. I'm also an attending physician with the brain injury and stroke rehabilitation programs and neuromuscular rehabilitation programs at TEER, which is our flagship freestanding inpatient rehabilitation hospital in Houston.
So we like to start our podcast with some rapid fire questions in order to learn more about you when you were applying to residency.
Let's
do it. So were you Sigma Sigma Phi?
Nope.
Were you Gold Humanism?
Nope.
Do you have any funny interview stories or even deficiencies in your residency application that you could share with us?
Yeah. I mean, I think like a lot of other applicants to PM&R, I came from a school that did not have a home PM&R program. And so I had to do away rotations to get PM&R exposure. I was able to do some on the West Coast and stay with family, and I was able to get a PM&R letter of rec there. And so, you know, with a away rotation, you know, it's a nice opportunity to show your interest and your clinical knowledge for a program that you're interested in. But in terms of deficiencies, yeah, I had very average board scores. I did not have any honors. I did not have a home PM&R program to build up my exposure to. And I think that's a common thing with PM&R applicants. So don't let that hold you back from applying.
That's really helpful.
Yeah, it's a very, very common thing. And then in terms of funny stories, so when I was applying, we were doing in-person interviews and I had back-to-back interviews between Chicago and Pittsburgh from one day to the next. And so I left my interview in Chicago to catch my flight to Pittsburgh and I went to the wrong airport. So I had to get a cab back to the right airport. And then of course I'm late for my flight and I'm in my dress clothes, running through O'Hare, lugging my suit bag, dropped my bag, had to go back for it, tore a hole in my dress shoes, sat down on the plane, drenched in sweat. It was very, very uncomfortable arrival into Pittsburgh. So these are all very like normal experiences for people to have to go through when you're trying to fly from one place to the next. And I feel like that's one thing that the virtual interviews have improved. It's made everyone a lot more comfortable when you can sit in your own home and be comfortable. And, you know, a cat goes by and distracts you and the interviewer.
Oh, well, those are great stories. It really helps us normalize the process when we recognize that people do have these funny interview stories and deficiencies. And when people share them, we all become more comfortable. And so I appreciate you giving us all of that insight.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to share about the PM&R applicant trail is that, you know, we're a small specialty and inevitably you may end up in like pre-interview mixers or social events or, you know, residency second looks with people that you may match with at a program or that you end up seeing at meetings in the future. And because the field is smaller and the applicant pool is smaller, you're gonna start making friends in PM&R at different institutions right away. And so the networking begins from before you're even a resident. So don't feel bad or hesitate to reach out and make those friends along the interview trail because you never know who you could be working with and, you know, what could happen in the future.
Connections are definitely key and very essential towards someone's career. And that brings us to the PM&R application. I'm curious what makes a competitive PM&R applicant?
So this will probably vary from program to program a little bit, but I'll try to put on my general program director hat here. I do think that it is better to show commitment to one cause or one type of volunteerism and have some sort of accomplishment to show for it than to have minimal participation in many endeavors. You know, some people really try to, you know, pad their CV with lots of experiences, but if those experiences look like they're just sort of like superficial or very like time limited things, I don't think that's as meaningful as someone who did something throughout medical school or throughout college, and then the personal experience and growth that came out of that. Research is great, but it's not a requirement. And it's very difficult for medical school students to get PM&R related research going. So for those of you who have done it, kudos, but it's not easy. So it's not a requirement by any means. But one of those things that can help you look more competitive is showing off leadership skills in successful projects or community outreach. Anything that is team-based is really good to highlight in your application or your personal statement, because PM&R draws on a lot of team-based care. So talking about the skills that you learned, how you made connections with people, how that impacted your education or your personal life, is very applicable to PM&R and shows a lot of personal growth and maturity.
So as you're sifting through all of these applications, I'm curious if you can just share with us some ways that you might select someone for an interview, because it all seems so mysterious once we submit our ERAS application.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that your program directors and other faculty members are looking for are like a vibe or a fit. So for example, if you're a person in your personal statement and application declare your love for mountain climbing, and you apply to a program that does not have mountain climbing and is very suburban and flat, people may not understand why you're applying to that residency program. So like your perceived vibe or fit in your applications, is one of the things. Program directors are definitely moving away from USMLE or COMLEX score cutoffs. And generally speaking, PM&R looked a lot less at those than other competitive specialties. So I wouldn't let a certain step one, step two score hold you back from applying to a program you're really interested in. I think program directors are also looking for meaningful personal statements and letters of recommendation that highlight your work ethic or clinical knowledge or elements of your personality that they think are a good fit for their residency program.
So you mentioned that USMLE or COMLEX may not be as important and that the holistic review of an application is key. But if someone were to have a lower exam score or a class failure or any other deficiency in their application, do you have any suggestions in order to strengthen their application for residency?
Yeah, I think you try to do better on the next or subsequent standardized exams. So if you can show that you did better on step two than on step one, or try to get honors and rotations that are related to PM&R, like neuro, ortho, geriatrics, rheumatology, or sports medicine, that's a way to show that, maybe that the step one score that you had was just a bad day. It doesn't necessarily reflect your clinical and academic acumen, and you've been able to show your intelligence and hardworking in other ways.
And in regards to the application in general for test scores, should applicants have their USMLE step two or their COMLEX step two before applying to residency?
If you have it, it's great. But all the program directors that I've spoken to, we're all aware of that a lot of people have had difficulty scheduling these exams, or some medical schools have even put the tests on hold because of the pandemic. And so there's, sort of like asterisks or waivers that we're aware of for step two.
And, we always want to look for ways in which we can shine and show a program that we're really interested in them. And I'm wondering if PM&R applicants should complete away rotations. And if so, if you have any examples of how we can shine on these rotations so that we can look like we're super excited about the program and want to match there.
Yeah. I really think an away rotation is a nice chance to show off who you are and your interest in a place, as long as you feel confident enough in your own skin to do that. Not everybody feels comfortable outside of their, university or, home hospitals with that. And not everyone can make that work with respect to their finances or, timing or their personal life. So if you can do an away rotation, it's great. So that gives you a chance to show interest in the program by getting to know the residents and trying to suss out what the pros and cons are, showing you know, active involvement in the patient care, getting to know the therapists and the families, and following up on orders, offering to write notes and help out the resident. Those are all things that show off that, hey, I'm getting ready to make this transition from medical school to residency, and I'm very enthusiastic and hardworking. And this is me, you should accept me.
Yeah, and it can also tell you whether or not you even want to live in a specific area of the country. So exactly. It can tell you a lot about not just the program, but your future life moving forward.
Definitely. I think that is one of the things that's underappreciated on the interview trail, right? Everyone is so focused on getting into the residency program, but they sometimes forget what it could be like to live in that city for 3 or 4 years. And many people end up getting their first job in the city that they did their residency in. And so you may be there longer than you think. And living in a place where you're comfortable and happy, that it works for your significant other or your family or any other lifestyle things, is really important in keeping you happy and successful as a trainee going forward.
So one of the most stressful parts for some people of this entire journey is an interview. And what can be even more intimidating is meeting with a program director at that interview. So if you were a candidate in the upcoming match cycle and meeting with the program director during the interview, what are some questions that you might ask?
Oh, man. I like to think that I'm not an intimidating guy, so y'all can bring whatever questions you like when you see me on interview trail. But things that I would think about would be asking, what do your residents say about your program that you as program director wish you could change? How are resident concerns brought up and handled? What input do residents have in the program's development and curriculum? What changes do you anticipate in the program over the next few years? Tell me the program's biggest perk. Tell me the city's biggest perk. What's your biggest gripe about your own program? Or what do you not like about the city?
Well, those are great. That's a wonderful list to get us started. And for anyone, whether they're applying to PM&R or any other specialty, those are wonderful questions to ask.
Yeah, I hope that helps.
So
I think you'll find program directors very ready to share.
So something that can be a little bit more fun and less intimidating for most people is when you get the time to ask residents questions. And I'm curious if you have any questions that you would advise asking residents to learn more about a program.
I think it's good to get their take on it, but the questions I think you'll ask will be different than for the program director, right? You might want to ask the residents what types of jobs and fellowships the recent grads have gotten. How and when do residents get access to their procedures? You know, some PM&R programs have access to procedures straight away as a second year resident. Others, you know, load it all in when you're a senior. What's the diversity of educational experiences and patients? How do they like the city? What are the best and worst things? What's the best and worst thing about the program? You know, do they feel comfortable with who they are, where they're at? And is there anything in the program getting in the way of those types of things?
And we never know where we're going to end up for residency, but we can certainly play a role in ranking the programs to where we hope to go. So I'm curious if you have any tips for applicants when they're trying to put their rank list together.
Yeah, first and foremost, trust your gut, because your time in undergrad and medical school has honed, you know, a source of insight and a source of knowledge and sort of like a spidey sense about, you know, first impressions and things going right and things going wrong. So when you interview at a place and you start getting feedback from, you know, faculty and residents, you know, that first impression is often correct. I would say to take online reviews with a grain of salt. The people who write online reviews may have ulterior motives. They may be a self-selecting population that doesn't necessarily reflect everyone's experiences. And many times, you know, you see the extremes posted online and you never see like the real content in the middle. So don't hesitate to look through that stuff. But if you see something that's concerning, that may prompt you to want to ask more questions of like residents or faculty at a particular place that you're interested in. And then like we were alluding to earlier, you know, you want to consider the city and the fellowships nearby, because you may stay there for training after residency, or you may get your first job in that city. And how does that work with your family, friends, and your geographic ties to the area? So those are all things to consider. But again, trust your gut.
And you mentioned that PM&R is a smaller specialty. And so there are people that do not have a home institution. And so I'm curious if you have any suggestions for those people or for anyone in ways that they can connect with a mentor or even learn more about the field.
Yeah, so Twitter is a really big part of the physiatry landscape, especially the American Academy of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation and the Association of Academic Physiatrists, AAP. Both of those organizations have like devoted medical student sections that are huge resources in terms of reaching out for mentors, identifying like virtual clerkships or other projects that you can get involved in. I would say don't hesitate to seek out a mentor at another institution. I think this pandemic has shown that video networking has made it easy to get involved in like projects and lectures or hop in on journal clubs. You know, it's easier than ever to be a part of that at a place that's not close to you. So I would say don't hesitate to reach out to faculty members or residents that you may know so that you can start to build some experiences and get to know who is where and what's going on at different programs.
Well, you've provided us so many amazing tips in order to prepare a PM&R application and get through those interviews. And I'm wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to offer or add about the residency or the application interview process.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to acknowledge that the residency application process is one, a hard one, and two, you're trying to find a place that fits you just as much as you're trying to find a place to match into, right? So don't forget how you feel about a program, how you feel about its city, and how that fits you as a person. You don't want to go to a great program that's in a city that you detest or can't see yourself in. And always be true to yourself. Programs can tell when you're overselling something, and you don't want to be that person who's trying to make something that you did look more prominent than it really was. Everyone has something that they bring to the table. Everyone has something that makes them shine. And if you can be true to that, people will love you.
Well, we have learned so much from you about the application and interview process for PM&R. And now we're going to turn the tables and learn a little bit more about you. So would you share a fun fact about yourself?
Yes, I'd love to. So I have a love for German cars, especially anything from the 1980s and the 1990s. And I follow way too many Instagram accounts that are specifically dedicated to these vehicles.
Super cool. Well, that's all the time we have today with Dr. Dragojevic. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from another awesome leader in medical education.